Good morning, everyone. Only about half of us said good morning. Good morning, everyone. All right. Thank you guys so much for being here. We welcome you to our worship service here at Homewood. Continue signing up each week for our services. You guys can call ahead or you guys can sign up on, you guys can sign up online or you can call ahead anywhere from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. For our services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If you need to use the restroom, you guys can use the restroom over here in our atrium. Our worship ministry team handed out special Christmas bags to each woman in our service last Sunday. So we do have a few bags left. So if you weren't here and you would like one of those, pick one up on your way out. Our Christmas Eve candle lighting service is going to be at 5:30 Christmas Eve. This Thursday, we will have people signing in as you come in, so you don't have to sign up ahead of time, but we will have you sign your name when you do come in. And I'm really excited about our Christmas Eve service, so we would love to have you guys. If you guys can't make it, if you're watching the live stream and you can't make it, or there's family or something's going on, we are going to be live streaming that service this Christmas Eve, so look forward to that. And now for our candle lighting reading, we're going to have John and Barb Fox come and read our candle lighting Advent scripture. Barb's brought matches this time.
Reading from Numbers 24, 16, and 17. The prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheph.
Reading from Psalm 72, 8 through 11. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him.
Let's bow our head in prayer this morning. Dear Father, I thank you so much for this time, Lord. As we're about to enter into worship, Father, I just pray that you seek out our hearts, Lord. We're so thankful to come before you this morning, to worship you, Father, to praise you. We know that every knee and every tongue will confess and know that you are God. Let's be filled with joy this morning, Father, as we worship you and we prepare to be challenged by your word, to be encouraged by it so that others may know who you are. In your name we pray, amen. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 247, Let's Worship and Adore Him. Revelation 15:4, all nations will come and worship before you.
Worship and adore him, let's worship and adore him, let's worship and adore him, in Christ the Lord, for he alone is.
Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Magi from the east came. Be seated.
Our mission spotlight today is focused on Brian and Michelle Kirk, who work with Gospel for Asia. Their report on the mission field, as you might imagine, contains a lot of COVID limitations, and they point out that COVID has changed the ministry here in the U.S. as well as on the mission field in India and in Asia, where Gospel for Asia, of course, is focused. Most of the mission field's been on lockdown for at least 6 months, And therefore, most of the efforts of the ministry in that area has been shifted to meet the basic needs of people. Just having enough food is a struggle for much of that region. And so they ask that we pray for their pastors and their missionaries as they do what they can to feed people physically and spiritually. And they pray that nonetheless, believers there would grow in their faith. And Brian and Michelle also ask that we pray for them, for their ministry. They're both based here in the U.S. Brian in charge of many of the administrative details that make the operation go smoothly, and his wife, Michelle, who's in charge of writing many of their ministry materials. So they ask for our prayers that they'll be faithful in what they're doing and that in the midst of this pandemic, they won't lose the hope and the joy that comes with serving Christ. So why don't we pray? And if a few of you want to pray for the Keurigs or for specific needs that you are aware of, please do that, and then I'll continue. So let's go to our God in prayer this morning. Father, we do pray for Brian and Michelle, for their energy and their faith in conducting the ministry. We pray especially for the missionaries on the field in India and other parts of Asia, that they would be able to persevere during this pandemic, that people would have their needs met as only you can. And Lord, this morning we pray also for healing, spiritual and physical healing, here in our own city, in our country, in our world. And we pause to thank you, God, for sending your Son, who left the glories of heaven and came to a humble birth here on earth, as the verse says, and he'll be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. We thank you for that. So God, your love is beyond imagination. And during this season, I pray for a special joy for all of us because of what you've done and what you are doing, not only here, but in all parts of the world. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, it's been 30-some years since we took the trip, but every detail is still vividly riveted in my memory. We anticipated that something might happen soon. Nevertheless, we were still surprised when it happened. My associates were studying our scrolls while I was gazing into the heavens when this star appeared as it rose. We conferred with one another and concluded he must have come. We're a highly respected caste of men spread out over all of the East and Parthia, including ancient Babylon and Persia. Our broad base of knowledge includes dreams, magic, medicine, science, philosophy, and astrology with the study of the stars. We've devoted our life to these kind of things. And so we looked for a star that would appear. And so when we saw it, we knew that he must have come. You see, we believe that stars are symbols of imperial greatness and splendor, and that events that happen in the heavens indicate important events on earth. Some of us have been influenced by Daniel, that great ancient Jewish and Babylonian leader and prophet. 600 years before that time, he had been appointed by Nebuchadnezzar as the leader over all of the wise men in his kingdom, Babylon. With the help of the Most High God, Daniel foretold the coming of this great Messiah king. Jews dispersed throughout our land hold tenaciously to the hope that this king was sure to come. And there was this widespread expectation that a ruler was going to arise from Israel. We knew when that splendorous sign appeared, this was it. And then centuries before Daniel, Balaam prophesied, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Sheph." We looked for a star indicating that this king would come to deliver Israel from all her enemies. This sign in the heavens was what we were looking for. We hurried to prepare a caravan with cavalry to travel the distance to Israel. This would sustain us, and it did on our long journey, the hundreds of miles. And it would protect us and our valuable possessions from bands of robbers. You see, we didn't want to be negligent with our welcome, nor did we want to give way to fear. Israelites, of course, know that Parthians in the east are chief rivals to Rome in the west. We have fought back and forth on several occasions and been successful in turning back Roman invasion. Israel is simply a buffer state on the fringe of Roman control. Our arrival had nothing to do with that political tension, but to sincerely welcome this newborn king. After traveling hundreds of miles, naturally we went to Jerusalem first. That's the capital. Surely the king would be there, present somewhere. Or if not, they would be able to tell us where he was and take us to his presence. We were ushered into the presence of Herod the king and asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And explained, "For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." The response we got was not what we expected. Herod was troubled, surprised, disturbed, and apprehensive over our question. I even thought I detected a tinge of rage on his face. Later, after discovering more about Herod, I understood what was going on. I knew Herod was an Edomite and thus a foreigner ruling over Israel. About 30-some years before that time, he was appointed by the Roman Senate as the ruler over Judea. After some help with the Roman forces, after several years of resistance, he was able to crush all opposition to his rule. Herod was a master politician and smooth speaker, and thus able to stay in power with the changing of the Caesars in Rome. He was superb with famine relief and a great builder, even rebuilding and enlarging the temple in Jerusalem. Nevertheless, the Jews still looked down upon him as a usurper, and they longed for their Messiah. Herod loved power, and he inflicted heavy taxes. I later discovered that he also was always cruel and a mean kind of person. In the latter years of his life, he was struggling with an illness that compounded his paranoia. In such a state, he put to death his favorite wife, Miriam, when he became suspicious of her faithfulness. He also put to death her two sons, his favorites, when he became suspicious of them as well. Herod was constantly changing his will. I shudder to think what we almost did for a man who would stop at nothing to obliterate any threat to his rule and dynasty. Foreigners from the east asking about the birth of the Messiah king. Major threat to his dynasty. Word spread rapidly throughout Jerusalem about our arrival. People were troubled, surprised, and fearful. They wondered about the political reasons why we came and what would be the repercussions for our visit. Would this lead to more fighting? And as I later found out, most were fearful of what Herod's response would be. Would this lead to more innocent, cruel bloodshed at the hands of this insane, paranoid ruler? Does it seem odd to you that the king of the Jews would be born and the first nobility to know about it was far to the east? King Herod entertained us wise men in his palace, and he called before him the chief priests and scribes of the Jews. Since the chief priest's position, the high priest changes hands regularly at the appointment of a Roman official, there's a number of chief priests. And the scribes were their experts in the law, their law, the law of Moses. And they could quickly answer any question about the Messiah. Herod asked them, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? They responded, in Bethlehem, land of Judah. And they quoted their ancient prophets Micah and Samuel. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. The Most High God indicated the town in which the Messiah would be born. That shouldn't surprise us, for the one who controls all things would want people to believe in the Savior that he would send. Bethlehem is an insignificant village, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And yet it has the distinction of being the birthplace of their great King David. And now, the privilege of being the birthplace of the Son of David, the Messiah. A truly great king is a great shepherd of people. This person would provide shepherd-like care for his people unlike any other. That's what we need. I really wondered why these priests and scribes, scholars, wouldn't accompany us on this short trip to Bethlehem. Surely they had far more reason to be excited than we were. Was it apathy? That seems unlikely, since most of them longed for their Messiah king. Yet as I later discovered, some wanted to maintain the status quo and stay in power. Fear? Very possible. Fear of Herod's response if he found out they were rallying behind a rival king? Let's face it, fear holds us back from doing many things that we know we should do. Pride? Likely. They were the ones that had the answers. They wouldn't be guided by a bunch of astrologers from the East. Unbelief and blindness? Most certainly. They had these expectations of the way God had the work. God would surely speak to them first. He wouldn't be communicating with foreigners far away about the birth of their own king. It seems their expectation of the way God works was different than God's plan. I wonder if they're blind to other things as well. It amazes me how people can know the scriptures so well and yet never really experience them. Make sure that apathy, fear, pride, and unbelief don't keep you from experiencing what God has done and wants to do in your life. After dismissing these Jewish leaders, Herod held a private meeting with us Magi. He questioned us with detailed questions about when this star appeared. It took a number of months to prepare our caravan and make that long trip to Israel. We answered his questions as accurately as we possibly could. He gave us permission to travel that short distance from Jerusalem to Bethlehem and allowed us to search carefully to find out about the child and his family. And then he charged us that after we found out that we needed to come back to him and tell him about what we discovered about this child so he too could come and pay homage to this newborn king. I wonder why he didn't travel with us himself or send trusted advisors along. But figured he was giving us the honor since we had traveled so far. His come and welcome and homage would come at a later point. He seemed sincere, so we believed him. After we took off out of Jerusalem, heading south towards Bethlehem, another amazing thing happened. The star which we saw in the east, it appeared again and guided us to Bethlehem where the child was. When we saw that star reappear, we rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. We've studied the stars all our lives, but we never saw a star like that before. It appeared from our vantage point in the east, guiding us to Israel. And now it reappeared, guiding us to Bethlehem. I guess it shouldn't surprise us because the one behind it calls all the stars by name and holds them in place. He wanted us there to worship his king. If you sincerely are following God's leading, God will be sure to get you where he wants you. It didn't take us very long to search out that small town of Bethlehem and find out where the child was. You see, there were some shepherds and other common folks who were still spreading the news about how angels had appeared to them announcing that this great Savior, Messiah, and Lord had been born. They were given the distinguishing mark of identifying this baby, that he would be the one wrapped up and lying in a feeding trough for animals. And they made their way that night, and the day in which that baby was born into the world, they saw this great Messiah King. Of course, there was quite a reaction in Bethlehem. There was a great shocking response of our presence. You see, it very rarely would a caravan like ours visit a small village like Bethlehem. Yet there was so much common about the place. No palaces, no priests, no scholars, no dignitaries beyond us. It seems God likes to work with humble folks in common settings. Well, when we came into the house where the child was, Jesus, with his mother Mary, we immediately bowed down in homage before this child. What a contrast for people watching this. Grown, wealthy foreigners bowing down before a child in a common, humble setting. Yet looks are deceiving. This was the great King of Israel. He was destined for great things. And we had the privilege of welcoming him into the world. Bringing gifts to a superior is extremely important to us. We brought along on that long journey the best of what we could offer. Gold, of course, always valuable everywhere. Frankincense, a glittering, odorous gum that's obtained from making incisions in the bark of certain trees. It's used in worship. Myrrh, a precious perfume in spice, also obtained from certain trees. It's used in burials, but also in happy and joyous occasions as well. This wealth certainly could have been providing for the family in tough times. But regardless of how they used it, he was worthy of our best. We had a wonderful time sharing stories with Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph. And as we heard this more of the story, we realized that God was doing other miraculous, amazing things. And the way he had brought his King, the Savior, into the world. The star was just one part of it. Angels appeared to Mary and Joseph separately, telling them of this unique conception and birth. God used a Roman census to move them from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And after Jesus was dedicated in the temple, they went back to Nazareth again. But then they packed their bags and headed back to Bethlehem, where they lived in this house where we found them. That night, God communicated to me in a dream that we were not supposed to return to Jerusalem and tell Herod about what we had discovered about this child and the family. Herod would try to harm the child. I'm again impressed with the way God can intervene and guide or redirect someone. Perfect timing. I also admire the way he can protect his own. That's reassuring. In obedience to God's communication in a dream, we headed out another way, staying clear of Jerusalem as we returned home to the east. Obviously, this trip took a lot of time, effort, and money. Some have concluded that this was quite a waste, but we don't see it that way. This was the high privilege of our life. God gave us foreigners the opportunity to welcome his King and Savior into the world. He communicated in a way that we could follow. Now I have heard at the instigation of the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem that King Jesus was crucified on a cross by Roman soldiers. Travelers have told me that he rose from the dead on the third day. The number of his followers is increasing greatly. This is in keeping with our experience with him as a child. Nothing can thwart God's plan. Nothing will stop his rule. He is the one that we should look to, believe in, and follow. It appears God wants all to know of his great Savior and King. I wonder if his followers will come and tell us more about this man, Jesus.
I am very old. In fact, they raised their eyebrows when I said I wanted to come on this trip. But I told them it was going to be more than we imagined. I had no idea I was speaking the truth. So it has been my job to come tell the children about what we had, Jagan. It has been my job to tell you about the gifts, the treasures, the wonderful things that we gave to this king. But I am old, so I do go on, what do you call it, bunny trails. Bunny trails. So stop me when I do get on these bunny trails and tell me, oh no, your job is to tell about the treasures, the gifts, the wonderful things we brought. Okay? 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 So this all started with this star, this amazing star. Now, we looked at the stars every single night. They were amazing. We knew we had names. We knew every single one where they were. When suddenly this star came that was beyond what we'd ever seen, beyond what we'd ever seen. And we looked in our scrolls and we said, oh, this means a king is born in Israel. So we said, we must go. We must go. It was a deep feeling in our heart that we should go. And we packed and we caught a caravan. We got many, many, many hundreds of people taking care of us and many other wise men. And they came and we said, now what should we bring this king that is born in Israel? And we said, well, number one. We should bring him gold. Now, this is just what we brought the gold in because we've already given it to him. It was 30 years ago. But it was heaping piled of gold. And then we said, because it was going to be a king, what we didn't know was that it was not only the king of Israel, he was the king of the universe. He was the king of kings. Amazing. He became my king. The second thing we brought was frankincense. And frankincense is, we brought frankincense. Now I have to tell you how this came about. We looked at each other and we said we should bring something else. And we didn't know exactly what to bring. And we looked at each other and all of a sudden, we all said it at the same time. We said, let's bring frankincense. And then we kind of looked at each other and said, that's a strange thing. But we brought it. Later we would find out that in the temple in Jerusalem, they used frankincense by the table of the showbread inside the temple. And they would pour it out, and it would make the temple smell beautiful. And they said it was like their prayers going to heaven. Oh, my goodness. So this king that we were going to was like God? Was God? The third thing we brought, this was the strangest thing of all. This was the strangest thing of all. We again looked at each other and we said, what else should we bring? It feels like we should bring something else. What should we bring? And we all said at the same time, let's bring myrrh. And then we looked at each other like, did we just say that? Myrrh is what you put on people when they die to embalm them and make them smell good. Why were we bringing myrrh to this little baby, to this king? Was this baby going to die? Was this baby supposed to die? Later we found out, after Jesus had been crucified, and they told us that 30 years later, that they had used the myrrh to embalm him as he died. Oh my goodness, his purpose was to come and die for us. We traveled and traveled and traveled on donkeys and camels. Oh my goodness. Oh, I must digress a little bit. Can I go on one of your bunny trails? Have you ever ridden on a camel? Camels move all their left feet and then they move all their right feet. So if you've ever been on a rocking boat, this is what it feels like. Try it with me. It doesn't feel that great. And we traveled thousands and thousands and thousands of miles because this star that we were following moved. We have never seen a star that moved. And it led us to Herod. Another story in itself. I will not go there. But what fascinated me was all these Jewish leaders that knew exactly where this king was to be born. He was to be born in Bethlehem, they said. The scripture said so. And yet they did not come with us. Were they not seeking him? Were they not seeking him? And then the week when after we left Herod, the star came back. And the star was moving again. And we came to the town of Bethlehem to Mary, Joseph, and the king. There was a deep feeling inside our souls. We knew this was not just a king. We knew this was God. And we didn't just do the formal little bow that you do to kings. We knelt down and we worshiped him. And we didn't give our gifts to the family, we gave it to him. Our valuable gifts, it wasn't enough. I could tell he would want more. He would want our hearts. Now, because you are children and you will not judge me, right. I have a song that I found in your scriptures that I think is just what we should be singing right now. Will you help me? I will sing it once and then you will help me. If you seek me and find me, when you seek me with all of your heart, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart. Do we need to pray that today? That we will seek him with all our heart this Christmas? Please sing with me. When you seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart.
of a lifetime. It was a trip that I will never forget. There were so many things that I experienced along this way that were just so priceless to me. And one of my biggest ways was seeing one of the biggest things I took away was seeing the destructive nature of pride. That's the reason why I have brought the pedestal that you see right in front of me. My heart just broke when I saw the scribes and the scholars. It just broke when I saw it. And the reason why is because they had been waiting so long for their long-awaited Messiah. They had been waiting so very long. And here we were. We came onto the scene asking them where their king was. And they couldn't get themselves to believe that a group of foreigners knew about their king before they did. You should have seen the surprise that was written all over their faces. Think about how humbling that would be to have foreigners tell you that your Messiah had come. This pill was a little too big for them to be able to swallow. So they refused to come with us to see their Messiah, and they chose to hang back instead. This sad experience showed me what proud people are like. Proud people, they have a pedestal, and this is a pedestal that they love to stand upon. As they stand upon their pedestal, they love to look down at other people. And the thing about these proud people is they are so high up in the air, they cannot hear what it is that others are trying to tell them. In order for them to be able to listen, they have to be willing to come down off of their pedestal and treat you as an equal. And as we saw with these scholars and priests, oftentimes for proud people, this distance is way too far for them to travel. They've grown accustomed to looking at themselves in this elevated way and don't want to see themselves any differently. I have spent so much time trying to think about how I can avoid the mistakes that these scholars and priests have made. And I have benefited greatly from the application of wisdom that I am about to share with you. Hear these truths, and as you hear them, apply them, and they'll do you well. The first truth I want to share with you is that when you're confronted with the scriptures, believe what they say. The scholars and the priests, they knew what the scriptures said about their Messiah. Yet they refused to believe them, even when they were being fulfilled right before their eyes. Number two, be willing to listen to godly counsel. Proverbs 12:15 tells us that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise listen to advice. I have seen this problem play out quite often in the younger generation. They have a way of looking down on those who have come before them, believing that they have little wisdom to offer. In doing so, they foolishly miss out on priceless pearls of wisdom. They choose to learn from the wisdom of your elders. Your elders have wisdom that they have learned through experience, and it can save you from attending the school of hard knocks, which many of us have to attend due to our pride. Those of you who are older, you would also do well to listen to those who are younger. The young may see things that you cannot, for only God is all-knowing. There was a time when I was hanging out with one of my students, and as I was mentoring him, he asked me a penetrating question. And as he asked me this question exposed some sin in my life. And instead of firing back at that student and trying to put them in their place, I placed myself in a position to hear, and I thanked them for what it is that they had to share with me, because it was advice that I desperately needed. Advice can come from those who are older, and it also can come from those who are younger. The wise person is the person who places themselves in the position to hear both and weighs them against God's truth. This was a principle that my father had taught me growing up. And he had taught this to me by modeling it before my eyes. He would oftentimes ask wisdom from his children and seek advice from his children, even though he was older, and he would listen. Truth number three, follow in the footsteps of King Jesus. If your king was willing to die for you, if your king was willing to die for you, pride has no place in your life. A king is a person who deserves glory and who deserves honor. Yet he took on the shameful death of a cross. If Jesus is the one that you claim to follow, he has shown us that there is no position that is beneath us. He has stooped farther and stooped lower than you and I ever could. Instead of clothing yourself with pride, as the scholars and the priests did, clothe yourself with humility. Proverbs 22:4 tells us the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. On the other hand, Proverbs 16:18 tells us a painful truth about pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Choosing humility over pride means choosing life over death. Watching pride destroy the moment that the scholars and the priests could have had with their Messiah was painful to witness. I invite you to avoid repeating their mistakes by choosing humility over pride. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the priceless truths that are found inside of the Christmas story, this historical event that took place over 2,000 years ago. Help us, God, to hear your word and to live out the truths that we encounter. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Matthew 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 290, As with Gladness, Men of Old.
As with gladness, men of old, did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to thee. As with joyful steps they sped to that lowly
is that when you read it, it has a way of hitting you afresh and showing you something new every time you encountered it. And I remember as we were preparing for this week's service, this idea of the pride of the scribes and the scholars, man, it just hit me. I'd never seen this before, and I've heard the Christmas story countless times. So we hope you encountered something new during our time together and you were challenged by it. And we hope you have a wonderful week as you prepare for Christmas. Let's pray, and our ushers will dismiss you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus into the world. We thank you for the love that you have for us. And God, we pray that we would share the gift of Christmas with others this week. In your name we pray. Amen.